on like a hat, that's like the latest fashion. I got angels all around me, they keep me surrounded.
It's Strokes.
I'm Kadusi.
And you're sitting at the black table. Welcome back.
Excited.
You don't know the Spanish number four. I saw you thinking.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Go ahead, Green.
Once, don't. Is it, okay, I was trying to do French.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, took a little bit of French.
Been real fancy over here.
I know.
Here.
Sorry, guys.
Anyway, welcome. How you been?
I've been great.
Good. What's new with you?
Let's start with you. What's new with you?
You know what? I like when I talk about me more than you.
I know.
My birthday was on Monday this week. Yay. So now I'm 25, which is exciting because this year I'm going to have my crisis. So that would be fun.
It's not true.
It probably will happen. I mean, you've had your crisis. You became friends with me.
Oh my God, that's right.
Doesn't that suck?
That's true.
I went to Rihanna, actually, in Chicago.
Rihanna!
A really last minute trip. My friend invited me on for some free tickets. And I always said, and please don't come for me, Navy. I always said, I'm not going to pay to see Rihanna sing so long as the microphone's turned on.
And oh my gosh. I'm can't just say that.
Not
though.
With the light on the bottom.
You can't say that.
I'm going to say it.
Okay.
Listen, I've seen Beyonce live twice.
Yeah.
Her mic was on most of the time. And when you're up there, it's like going to see Michael Jackson and then going to see the other Jackson nieces and nephews.
No, it's not. Beyonce is great in her own realm, and then Rihanna is great at what she does. They don't have to be on the same playing field.
But my expectations are up there for that kind of artist. So her show was really great. We had the shittiest seats, I will say.
Yeah.
We were definitely working light crew.
Mm-hmm.
But my section was really fun. You've been to a concert with me.
Yeah.
I'm so annoying. I just want everyone.
Just at a concert though?
Bye. So I just want everyone in the section to have fun. I want them to dance. I want them to sing. And so usually between the opener and the show, I make friends with the people around me. I say, listen, we are going to dance and sing and have a good time. We're going to cheer. We're going to yell. Da 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 da. And we do.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Jasmine Sullivan, I guess we could have sat down, but I'm sorry. I like her, so I'm standing up. But at this particular concert, so I'm sitting up, it's mostly black girls around me and, a couple gays scattered in between.
Yeah.
And this couple in front of us, it was a white guy, white girl, and then their friends were a white guy, black girl.
Mm-hmm.
The girls looked pissed, both of them. I think that the guys got them surprise tickets or something. And they're like, why are we sitting in this section?
Surprise, you're way in the back. Okay. To a Rihanna concert.
So it was super, they were uncomfortable throughout Travis Scott, who was amazing, by the way.
And they were uncomfortable?
They looked uncomfortable to me. I don't know if it was a first date, double date situation.
Yeah.
It was weird. But I did lead down and I said to the one couple exactly what I said to everyone around me right before I got to them.
Yeah.
I said, listen, we're not going to sit down to this concert because it's not a Kelly Clarkson concert. We're not sitting down. We're gonna stand up, we're gonna dance, we're gonna pop. You know what I mean? So what, we can't see her. We're still gonna have fun.
Okay.
Okay. He turns around and he says, that sounds kind of racist.
What'd you say?
Nothing. I did that. I got up and I just danced and had a great time throughout the rest of the concert. So I met one of those guys that want to be a victim.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But the show was overall was really good.
Yeah.
It's just, I won't compare them.
Just
I'll let them both exist.
Let them both live. That's
I'll let
the
them
problem.
Both live.
We talked about this.
We did talk about this.
So.
It's just, I'm in the beehive.
And you didn't pay for it.
My stinger's coming out.
I know. Calm
so
down.
Ugly.
Calm down, Daniel.
God dang. Anyway, yeah. So that was my weekend. And then we had a wonderful weekend, a wonderful sushi dinner.
Yeah.
And
all you can eat. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was just a great birthday experience. And
awesome.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this episode, too.
Mm-hmm.
because at the end of the episode, we're going to introduce something that we've been talking about ever since the idea of this podcast came up. So,
yes,
very excited about that. But this episode in particular is going to be about self-care. And I think it's a pretty poppin' topic across the board. A lot of people are talking about mental health, especially mental health in the Black community. And so we wanted to add our two cents in there as well.
Yeah.
And also kind of help you all and help ourselves work on our self-care regimen. Exactly.
Group effort, mental health, that is.
Yeah. And so the reason that all this got brought up or was on my radar recently was because of Kehlani's situation.
Yes.
Now, I'm a big fan of Kehlani, so she's on my radar. I know a lot of people didn't really know about
I knew who she was. I may have heard a song, but I mean, that's as far as I knew. Like, I don't know how long she's been out or anything like that. But yeah, I've heard of her before.
Well, that being said, I'm a big fan, but I don't know anything about her personal life.
Yeah.
I just like the
music.
It's
okay.
You know?
Right. That's okay.
So suddenly I saw people, I guess this happened like 3 weeks ago or something, maybe a month. I don't know.
Yeah, who cares?
But people started saying, oh, Kehlani's out here thotting and bopping or something like that.
Yeah, she's with the Kyrie Irving guy or whatever. And what team does he play for?
I know you're not asking me.
Girl. Right. How desperate am I? Well, that's how I knew of her existence.
Okay. And
through that, but yeah, she was apparently with him, but then it turns out her ex-boyfriend posted a picture of her on Instagram.
Party next door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what, I don't know the exact quote.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, like, she's still, after all that, she's still with me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And corny. So, and then everyone, like, attacked her and, you know.
So, my thing about that situation starting off, not everything needs to be posted online.
Right.
So I think that Party Next Door, whatever his real name is, was extremely corny for doing that.
Yeah.
And then after that, Kehlani posts a post of her arm in a hospital.
Yeah.
Posted a very long caption stating that, you know, she had allegedly tried to take her life or kind of alluded to the fact that she had tried to take her life. And then posted a picture of the same person that posted the picture that started the fire.
Yeah.
Saying, thank you for saving my life.
Yeah. So
I don't know if that's a young person thing.
Like wanting like people to have sympathy for you. Yeah. It's a very young people thing. I mean, when I think about like my little brother who's like 21.
Well, we're saying young people.
I know. Younger. Okay. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
They post a lot. It's like their life. And we probably did it when we were like in high school, posted way too much information.
Yeah.
I can think of times where I've said too much and it's just like, why would, you know? So maybe it's just something you have to grow out of. But how old is she?
She's like 20.
So she's
20.
She's in that age realm. Then I didn't know that.
Like, I just don't understand that tie to social media. So I think that's what cheapened the impact of her suicide. I feel like if she had said it sitting in front of like Mark Lamont Hill or something in an interview,
that it would have been taken a lot more seriously.
Way more seriously.
Yeah. I could agree with that because when I woke up and saw the news, I was just very confused because it was, here's a picture with, like you said, with the guy, and then immediately like her picture of her wrist, and it just was very confusing.
Right.
So I just don't know the timeline of how we got from there to there.
Right. And how it could have been done better.
And how it could have been handled. Because even like, I think it was like literally the day after that picture, or maybe 2 days, she's like posting a picture with her hair dyed and she's out and about. And so it's like, if you are going through a struggle, then maybe you need to continue that conversation and not immediately jump into, I got my hair done, I'm back, I'm better.
Exactly. It could definitely be your platform to talk about this issue very seriously. Kind of how Rihanna talked about her domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like over time, she definitely got better at talking about
it,
but she talked about it pretty soon thereafter. I mean, it was a little break.
Was that on the Oprah show?
I think the first time she talked about it was with Diane Sawyer.
Okay.
I think it was either, it was Diane.
Okay.
When her album came out, you know, she didn't really talk about it at all until Russian Roulette came out, and then she started opening up. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Kehlani could have had that same situation, that same platform to talk about mental health and suicide and all that. You know, Fantasia Barrino tried to take her life.
And yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
She talked about it, and I think she handled it very well.
Yeah.
Or her team did, or whoever was the mastermind behind that. But
and sometimes it's so sad with celebrities that some, like, they're personalities or whoever they are or we think that they are, mm-hmm. it overshadows the issue. So if they're going through something, it's like, well, that's Fantasia and she can't read or she can't write, you know?
Right.
So it's like not taken seriously, and then it's instantly, here's a joke about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what makes people not really want to go out and talk about it,
mm-hmm.
which is sad.
And it sucks because those are the people that you hear talk.
Exactly.
So when Fantasia is talking about her suicide and her depression,
mm-hmm.
and people are too busy focusing on the jokes or you know, whatever, you're not really hearing the message. And so the next person, Kehlani, she's not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now people that are in that age group that do post on social media or whatever, like kind of follow her lifestyle, they're not going to get that information from her that they could need and could use to stay healthy mentally. I just feel like there is a disservice there.
Maybe she definitely got attacked, and that was a sad thing. Like people coming out of the woodworks just saying, you know, oh, I'm team Kyrie, whatever. Well, it's not about their relationship right now. It's really about the health of this girl.
Right.
And no one took it seriously.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Has she done any like interviews or anything?
I don't know. Just like I haven't. Yeah. I didn't know about her personal life at all. I don't really know about anything beyond the music that's put out. But I do remember, like how you're just saying the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest voice in the reaction that I've seen was Briss Brown.
Yeah.
Briss Brown.
Breezy.
I think that, and hi Team Breezy, unsubscribe. we don't do that here. But Briss posted all these things, all these jokes during the uncertainty of where she was, like when it was just, oh, she cheated. And then after she came out with her suicide attempt and everything, he posted, there is no trying to kill yourself. You're just trying to make your comments.
Right. And then a week later, you have a documentary coming out and you said you tried to commit suicide, or you contemplated it after the whole Rihanna domestic assault thing.
Okay.
So
interesting. And he's someone who either, I don't know if it was him or his team or someone has publicly said that he suffers from, I think it was bipolar disorder.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, publicly. And so it was either a leak or something, totally a situation where we tried to make him more humanized and make us like him again.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that someone that's gone through or is going through mental health issues wouldn't take an attempted suicide seriously, because just as minuscule as the situation is between Kyrie, Party Next Door, and Kehlani is, a fight between a boyfriend and girlfriend, if it hadn't been bloody, could have been minuscule and still blown up. I would say Rihanna and Chris Briss were on the same or on a very high level of fame, much higher than the other three.
Exactly.
But with social media, sometimes those people on that follow these people or live that same lifestyle, that is their Briss and Rihanna.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's who they relate to the most. So Briss Brown.
You don't have to say Briss. I just like it.
He's like that meme where it's like Tyra yelling at the girl, you know, we're all rooting for you. That's what I think of Chris Brown. It's like,
I haven't rooted for him since 09.
It's just like, you know, after you make a mistake, he never
redeemed himself.
Never redeemed himself, and he just could not shut the fuck up.
He can't.
You know, you don't have to react to every person. I know celebrities get hateful things posted to them all the time. Mm-hmm. Like Wale just had an Instagram post where he was talking about, he posted what the person said. Because Prince died yesterday.
Yeah.
And the post was, I wish it had been you, Wale, instead of Prince.
Really?
And then he tagged it and he's like, you know what? This is what I have to deal with every day. I wish I was just like a regular Joe Schmo, whatever job.
Right.
You know, so I know you get things and it probably hits you. Maybe you're going through something and then it just, you know, all that pressure. But you don't have to be on Twitter. You don't have to be on Facebook.
Right. You have people
that people that really can just do it for you. Right. Like everybody, Beyonce, like, come on.
Come on. That's a team.
That's a team. So just do that and then enjoy your life, your friends, whatever. And as long as people aren't saying anything when you're out to your face, keep it moving.
Stop damaging your brand so much.
Yeah, it's very damaged.
I wonder where Kehlani is going to be in the next couple months, if not years, regarding this topic. I feel like you've automatically opened yourself yourself up to talk about this and have it be your platform. An off the wall reference for someone that's taken on mental health and really spoke on it and made a big platform out of it was Brooke Shields. Mm-hmm. She talked a lot about postpartum depression and things like that. I feel like these celebrities, if they are eloquent enough or they could form a team that can teach them how to be eloquent about the topic, which they can.
They absolutely can. I'm sure
there's so many organizations that probably reach out to these people
all the time
and say, let me educate you on this and you can be our spokesperson, whatever.
Yeah.
She, Kehlani could really, really change some lives.
Yeah, and being as young as she is, I think that her team should definitely consider it.
Yeah, if they're not already are.
Exactly.
You know, maybe they couldn't cancel some dates or something.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to see her out, have to see her posting these things.
Yeah, but
for me to believe that.
Yeah.
Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about our own mental health journeys.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is a social worker, and so I've always grown up in a house where mental health is very important to maintain.
Yeah.
What are you laughing? Because I'm crazy.
I'm sorry. Little judgment.
It is. It was. It was openly talked about and everything like that. And knowing the different households that my mom had to work in.
Yeah.
She had to do a lot of work to not bring that home. And I'm sure there is more of a struggle than I know about. You know,
absolutely.
We don't really talk about that with your kid.
Right.
But when I was 12, my grandma passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend who was, we were in seventh grade or so, and she was sexually assaulted. And I was the only person that she told.
Mm-hmm.
And so that weighed heavy on me. And my mom, being in mental health, she took me to a therapist and I was diagnosed with depression at the age of 12.
Yeah.
So it's always been something.
A lot of people don't have that.
Yeah, it's always been something that I've thought about and have been dealing with. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had anything like
that. Yeah, I've definitely. So it definitely wasn't anything discussed in my household or like in my big family, but I definitely have struggled with it. And especially when I was going through like depression at a young age, I didn't know what it was. I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. So I just kind of acted out. And as I got older and kind of researched it myself and kind of said like, oh, maybe this is what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like people would say like, that's some white girl shit.
Okay.
And that's literally what people would say to me.
Really?
And I just felt like it made you feel even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Made me feel even worse. Like, okay. So we like it made me feel like as a black person I was supposed to be stronger and not be depressed.
Yeah, it was almost
or be sad. Like it was my fault.
Right, exactly.
You know? So
I understand.
Yeah, I definitely wish someone could have recognized it, but I definitely had a young parent and you know, they're probably going through their own shit. So it's just like you don't really know.
It's hard to handle as a young person. Mm-hmm. How old were you about when you started
exploring? I would say like first grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, really young.
And I'm the oldest.
Okay.
So I also felt like I had to be like a little bit more responsible at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
So
so then there's stress added to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was, like I said, it was around age 12 or something. Mm-hmm. And even though it was diagnosed, I feel, because I wasn't medicated. I've never been medicated.
Exactly.
I feel which like is, it was kind of dismissed as puberty. Like, oh, it's just hormones. He's going through growing pains, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm kind of harboring a lot of feelings about the sexual assault that I'm the only one that can know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, you know, my first big death in my family.
Yeah.
And it really affected me. And then, of course, there's probably also just a chemical imbalance naturally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just there was no work put in, which is upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Besides talking to my mom and normal household activity, you know, check-ins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like now at maybe at age 21 or 20.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Probably 18, 19.
Yeah.
You start feeling your emotions way stronger. Something happens. I don't know if you can relate, but I feel like it's known that in your 20s, those things that are rumbling under come out. It's kind of like a second puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it like came out little like 16, 15, probably 15.
Did you
like,
have a rebellious stage?
When I say rebellious, like, it's not in your, I don't know, like typical, when I feel like I hear rebellious, I hear like you going out fucking drinking.
Okay,
I mean, maybe that's rebellion for people.
Yeah.
For me, it was just secluding myself, being very short with people, just being out of it.
Right.
You know, no connection to anyone. That was like, for me, just being alone and... Or else I felt like I was going to go crazy. I had such a deep hatred for everyone around me and I couldn't explain it, but I felt it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was a misanthrope for a while too. It was just like, fuck everything.
Right. And then when you talk about like the medication, it's like in our community and probably beyond, I don't know, in society as a whole, when people hear that you're on pills or you're, it's like, you're crazy. You're I can't be around you. You're, you know, on the short, but like it's, you're already a joke.
But even.
It's not taken seriously.
Even with a healthcare professional in my house, I also like when I was 18, 19, when I started feeling waves of depression hitting me and I would, you know, not shower for 2 days. I'm too big not to shower, first of all. Okay? You can't play those games. But, but like, you know, you find these signs and I still like, you know, room being disaster. Yeah. Now it's my whole apartment will become a disaster. Right.
We his man
were like, I would catch those signs when I was 18, 19.
Yeah.
And I think, gosh, if I could just get on antidepressant or whatever, but I would be so, I would shame myself too much to even bring it up to my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like that's something that you talk about with your family at that age. Because I was still living in her house, you know, even though I could have just gone to a doctor myself, I still felt too ashamed to do it myself.
It still feels that way. Like there was a time, I think it was my junior in college, and I was just like in a really low point. Like I was just so ready to be done with school. And we have a mental health student counselors kind of thing. And like you could see it from anywhere on campus. So I almost felt like, oh, if you walk in there, everyone's going to know that something's wrong with you.
Right.
And like I went to visit in there a couple of times. And I remember every time just walking in, I was just trying to like disguise myself. And it was just like so crazy. It's like, this is literally a place to help me. They created it for us.
It's obviously and there because this has happened before.
Yeah, this is happening probably to thousands of the other students I'm going to school with. And I'm feeling ashamed. And it was sad, but you know, I at least tried it out. So. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You took the steps. I didn't. So I'm sick of mentioning this freaking website, but Tumblr was good for me because I learned a lot more. I feel like a lot of people are learning a lot. I also feel like there's a problem. It's kind of that Kehlani social media group where they're on there too much and they learn one term and then they're the expert on it, like cisgender people or whatever. God, it's oh my gosh, shut up with these Tumblr words. But gave definitely a lot of good resources and kind of it taught me about self-care. And only recently did I start activating that knowledge and using it. And also learning about the importance of self-care in the Black I'll say neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the, you know, in our community.
Yeah.
Self-care in what we go through now is so important.
My name is Imade Nibokun, and I'm a writer. Mental health really matters in social justice spaces. Though they are usually the front line when it comes to dealing with oppression and seeing oppression. I think it's so important to combine social justice with healing and mental health and mental wellness, because it takes us being whole mentally to be able to fight oppression.
Her name was Imade Nibokun. I hope I didn't mess that up. Oh my God, I probably did really bad. But she spoke to You Are Okay.
She's that video.
You Are Okay. Yeah. And she talked about mental health in the face of social justice, which for me, this is what had my depression kind of resurface most recently. So when I remember the night that my... what's his name? George,
Trayvon Martin?
Yeah. What's his name?
George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman, was left scot-free.
Yeah.
And I lived with a white roommate at the time who was just watching it on TV, like eating popcorn, holding their dog. And after we saw the verdict, I like went to my room and I like cried and I called my friend and I was like, I was supposed to go out that night. I think it was a Saturday or a Friday or something. And I called and I was like, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe at all.
Yeah.
And it was just awful. And it was awful 4 weeks thereafter. And then the second time a big wave hit me, or I started noticing a big wave hit me, was Mike Brown.
Of course.
That was the biggest one. Yeah,
that was huge.
I had just had a really great weekend in Chicago with my friends, and I was on a mega bus back, and I woke up and people were talking about what had happened, I guess. And even the black people on the bus were like, oh, that, you know, that's what happens when you raise a thug and stuff like that.
It's always that. It's, I mean, it's just like, I have a brother that was like around that age, and I was just like, this is sad. Yeah. Like, my mom, every time he would leave the house, was in a panic.
Right.
You know, and then I felt it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not even like super emotional like that. And just like, you can envision someone that you know, or you yourself, on Mike Brown's face, and that happening.
And I,
in front of everyone, with cameras, and they still get away with it.
The way that it was on the news, I thought that we were driving a bus into a fiery pit of hell
coming back coming to the into city. St. Louis.
And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And then I was afraid to get off the bus because I was like, that could be me.
Yeah.
Just like you said, like, it was awful.
And,
no one cares.
And no one cares.
On the bus. Yeah. No one gives a fuck about that. And we knew Mike Brown's cousin.
Yeah.
She's all over the news, standing right next to his mom. And I can't imagine, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I can't imagine.
She got no sympathy.
What she was going through.
She got no sympathy from a lot of people that were around her.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it's one of those things where your personality and who that person is overshadows the actual issue that they're going through. So instead of people taking it as, you know, if she was crying all over the place, that's what they wanted, versus someone being having a tougher exterior and still saying, you know, I'm going through these problems. And that's what, I feel like society reacts to. If you're not crying, if you're not, I don't know, if you're too strong, people don't really sympathize with you sometimes. That's how I feel.
It's true. And there was a study done, Dr. Bill Johnson, he wrote on blackmentalhealthnet.com about how depression manifests itself differently in black people, and it's probably just our survival tactics that we're not allowed to cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We're not allowed to be in pain, so we're almost not allowed to go to our mental health facility on campus or go seek out pills or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're not allowed to, because we have to be strong, because we're already victimized. We're already getting shot in the street for no reason. So who has time to think about your brain,
man, and what might be going on? When I used to feel really sad, I just remember like crying into a pillow, like trying to stifle it.
So no,
like, if I couldn't control it, like I didn't, no one could hear it. I just wanted to like smother my face just to stop. Like, I felt like, oh my God, this is something that I shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Like, crazy. And that's how it's built.
How do you feel about the word crazy?
I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Like, with someone?
Well, I've only recently started thinking about this. My mom doesn't use the word stupid or crazy. And I was like, whatever, that's stupid and crazy. Like, we're using them. But then I was listening to Behind the Actors Studio, an old interview with Dave Chappelle. I think it was played on a different podcast. Oh, sorry, I can't remember exactly where I heard it. But he was talking about him going to Africa and Mariah Carey stripping on TRL.
Yeah.
And then Martin Lawrence, if you remember, he was like waving a gun in the middle of the road.
I remember that.
And he was like,
so let me ask you this. What is happening in Hollywood that a guy that tough will be on the street waving a gun, screaming, they are trying to kill me?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why is Dave Chappelle going to Africa? Why does Mariah Carey make a $100 million deal and take clothes off on TRL? A weak person cannot get to sit here and talk to you. Ain't no weak people talking to you. So what is happening in Hollywood? Nobody knows. The worst thing to call somebody is crazy, is dismissive. I don't understand this person, so they're crazy. That's bullshit. These people are not crazy. They're strong people. Maybe the environment is a little sick.
And that's definitely something that applies to black people in our condition, in the state of the world. There's so much mental health that hasn't been covered. Like, for instance, Mike Brown's cousin that we know.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel so bad for her, because I feel like no one is going to help her.
No one's going to help her.
No one wants to help her.
No one wants to help her.
And it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Even like, I mean, even go back to that and him going to South Africa. It's like, what was the big deal? Is it because he walked away from $50 million? Is that what, like, what was the big deal that he wanted to go and find himself?
Right. To the rest of the world.
You know,
right.
Because if anyone else, like if Robert Downey Jr. walked away from $50 million, he'd be a hero.
It would be
on Time Magazine. Himself. You know, mm-hmm. He doesn't care about the money, but Dave Chappelle did it and he's trash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his reputation almost got like, he's so out of this world. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, now he's like, you know, selling out shows, doing his thing, but I'm just saying, like, what?
Yeah, when that happened, you know? It was him walking into his mental health thing.
Yeah, he just went cuckoo crazy. And people's, mm-hmm. And like, I guess going back to what you're saying, like, how I feel about the word crazy, I don't know. Because sometimes I just, like, if someone tells me a story and it's like wild, I'm like, man, that's crazy. It's like,
yeah, well, wild. That's a, I feel like, you maybe know? It's different.
But I don't really say, like, man, like,
she's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't really, I don't know.
There's so many ways you could say
it. Yeah, so like, I don't know. Kind of
like bitch. You know what yeah. I mean? I bleep out when I say bitch. Or I did on a
but not when
episodes.
I say that shit.
No. But I just did it because I was saying it in a derogatory way. And yeah. I was raised, mm-hmm. not dragged.
Were you?
So, but I also use that word as African American vernacular English. Mm-hmm. AAVE for anyone that wants to look it up. But I just say bitch. And also it's kind of like my gay lingo too. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, bitch. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But crazy is something I really kind of want to eliminate from mm-hmm. my vocabulary in the way that I'll describe someone.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how damaging that could be. Because the Mike Brown's cousin, we don't want to say her name or anything, but if she was having a fit of mm-hmm. any sort, you can say, wow, she's crazy. She went crazy. Mm-hmm. Or she just was dealing with the emotion.
Dealing with the death of a close cousin.
And
not really having an outlet to express it.
Right.
You know?
I hope that she's taking care of herself. I haven't seen her in forever.
I follow her on Instagram.
Her hair's laid. Okay. For the god.
We're so lame.
Moving on. So sorry we just depressed you so much.
Be happy.
Try to be happy. I just want to talk about, in those times of struggle, we just talked about all the bad stuff. What did you do to try to uplift yourself? Or what worked and what didn't work?
Goodness.
Like, did you try a bunch of things?
Okay, so obviously, when I was younger, I would write, I would draw pictures, stories, mm-hmm. I'd have imaginary friends, imaginary mm-hmm. places. As I got older, in high school, I played sports. Mm-hmm. I played soccer, field hockey, track, so I was really active,
right.
And that allowed
that
me
helps.
To get out a lot of my aggression, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Like, I was super tiny in high school, and I felt like because all I did was play sports mm-hmm. for and not eat. I was like, ugh. Like, I was just so angry. Like, I just wanted to hit something. And then in college, I drank a lot. Mm. A lot.
Yeah.
More than a person should in their lifetime.
Right.
And then now as I've gotten older, I cry. I just get it out.
You can't.
I just get it out. And I don't stifle it. I just look at myself in the mirror and cry.
That is so dramatic.
Oh my goodness.
I love it.
It is. I'm like, oh my God, I do that. And I'm like, I just look.
Come on, theater.
And I don't have an ugly crying face.
Oh my God. She said that because
I did not know. It was not shade against you.
But
I'm laughing at the Kim Kardashian like emoji with the ugly crying face thing.
Let's talk quickly about my ugly crying face. So I don't cry because I spent so long trying to be a man and not be so soft and not be a victim because mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time readying myself for something that never happened. Like, I wasn't bullied. Like, I wasn't victimized. Mm-hmm. Like, people would try it. I can think about it like five instances.
Yeah.
And I stood up for myself, but I did that work beforehand to be like, no one's going to mess with me because I'm gay or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I guess that turned into me not being able to cry. I can't cry when things are sad and it's awful.
Yeah.
But I did cry when one of my best friends got a new job.
Yeah.
We saw each other every day,
about
for like 5 years. And then she was like, okay, well, I'm leaving. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what it's going to look like when I don't see you every day. And at her going away dinner, I guess I unleashed a bunch of emotions that I haven't accessed in so many years. Because I was like, I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, you were sitting right next to me. And so I was sad. Like, I'm not looking over there.
I've literally never.
I was like freezing up. I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with me?
But what's wrong with me? Because I haven't cried in like 2 years.
Yeah, that's
the
crazy.
Last time I cried was a couple years ago when my mom was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. That was it. You know, and before that, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's, I really. Crazy. See, it's like crazy. I want to. I wish that I could access my emotions. Yeah. I wish that my self-care routine was just letting shit out. But yeah. I bottle it up for sure.
Yeah.
My expression comes through this podcast.
Hey.
Being creative, because after we do the recording, then there's editing and there's trying to figure out like social media and how we're going to, who we're going to talk to and things like that.
Yeah.
There's art. I don't get to do it that much because I'm so busy right now, but there's digital art that I do. Once again,
Tumblr. Are you interested in taking nude photos?
I'm interested in getting nude photos, so send it to theblacktable@gmail.com.
Anyway,
but no, like there's plenty of artistic outlets, and you know what else really helps that I never do? It's just exercise.
Yeah,
just going
to
the gym,
yes,
or going outside,
walking your dog.
I walk my dog.
Look crazy, girl.
Yeah, but like going to the gym and just putting in my earphones, blasting whatever I feel like blasting, and just going for an hour on a machine or something like that, it feels so good.
It does.
It feels so good.
It
but
does.
The my struggle is getting the motivation to get up and go.
Yeah.
Go, period. Because when you're depressed, you
That's
don't want to even open
you're
up
like,
your door.
Yeah.
You know? So it's something that we're definitely working on, or I'm working on.
Yeah. As well.
To gain more self-care regimens and learn what works and what doesn't work. So,
suck my dick.
Okay. So we're back from our break.
We're fighting.
So we're back from our break. We want to tell you about our program that we want to start, or we're going to start. It's called
The Perfect 26.
The Perfect 26. Woo! Woo! Let's layer a bunch of different sound effects over each other right now.
Okay.
Yay! You are so annoying.
He's getting kicked out.
I'm out.
That's one of your new sponsors.
Right. Anyway. So, Perfect 26. Take 52, since there are 52 weeks in a year, divided by 2. That's how many times we post in the year. 26 episodes per year.
Awesome.
And I also just turned 25. So by the time we come back around next year, I will be turning 26.
And I'll be 26 in a couple of months.
Keeping in the idea that we're going to be handling our self-care a little bit better by our 26th years, we wanted to introduce 26 two-week challenges, self-care challenges, things that we think that will make our life better. So if we like them,
then we'll continue to do them for the rest of the year, the rest of our lives.
Exactly. So hopefully we become the perfect 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
Whee!
I mean, that'll be great.
And even if you're not 26 out there, I think that everyone can benefit from trying new things.
Absolutely.
That would help them somehow, mentally, physically, whatever it is. One of the things on my list, or a lot of the things on my list, are related to health. So like drinking water, waking up in the morning, and walking my dog in the morning.
Being alive, breathing.
Being alive.
Being nice to Khadisi, is that on your list? Because it should be. Maybe you need 27 challenges.
I haven't considered that. I'll have my people look over my list again.
Okay.
So what we did was we wrote down 26 different challenges that we think would be great for us.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go to random.org, type in 1 through 26, and randomize the number that we pick. We're also going to be kind of following up with you all on our challenge on social media. So make sure that you're following us everywhere so that we can tell you what's going on, what challenge we're working on at
the
time. And I'd love for you all to join in on the fun. So please, if you have time, make a 26 list challenges.
And you have time. Because if you listen to this podcast or any other podcast, you got time.
Write down 26 things that you think would help you. You want to give them some suggestions of things that would help them?
Like keeping your house clean for 2 weeks straight.
That's me. That's me.
Shame.
Keeping your nose in your own biz.
Ooh.
That's you.
Ooh. Beep. Nah. Can you say nut?
But I think that everyone can find something that they want to improve in the year. Yeah. So the year starts on my birthday since I'm bossy. So go ahead and make your 26 list. We're going to take a short break and we're going to find out what our first challenge is going to be.
What the website tells us our first challenge is.
Yes.
Instead of what you said, which was cutting up on paper and us pulling it out of a hat. I don't
have a hat.
I don't care. You have a thousand hats. Anyway, sorry.
We're going to take a break. All right. So we've picked our numbers, or the website picked our numbers for us. You could also draw out of a hat.
Yep.
If you have hats.
You should draw it out of a hat.
Anyway.
What'd you get? What's the website? I mean, Big Brother. What did they choose for you?
So my first challenge was my number 18 challenge, which was to see a therapist. Get some clinical.
Goodness.
Which is crazy. That's the hardest one that I wrote down. But
yeah,
I felt like going to get clinical help would be great.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done it.
Or I've done it when I was a kid, so. I like to talk.
Right. Because y'all know this. Anyway.
What was your challenge?
Man. So my challenge is to eat meat every other day.
Funny.
Number nine.
So if you
only eat meat every other day. Thank you.
Okay. So if you want to join my challenge, you'll be doing my number 18, to go find a therapist within the next 2 weeks. Now, our show posts on the 26th, so our challenges actually start on the 25th, since we're going to do full working weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On the 24th, since we're going to do Sunday. But, so we're already in the middle of it by the time you hear it, or starting it at least.
Yes.
So if you'd like to join, feel free to start your weeks on Tuesday, whatever works for you. But if you want to join me in finding a
therapist. Join the winning team. Which would be me.
It is not a competition.
I know.
But if you want to do that, best of luck to you. That's kind of a hard one to start with.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I feel like it is.
I mean, maybe it is. That's probably why it's in there in the first place.
That's
everything
true. It's
on
a
the
challenge.
List. Exactly.
You're right.
So.
You're right. And then, of course, if you want to not eat meat, do it with her.
Yeah.
Great. Tell them to post with the hashtag.
Oh. All right, guys. So if you are following us in our challenges, if you're doing your own, definitely use the hashtag #ThePerfect26.
Probably just hashtag #Perfect26.
Hashtag #Perfect26, guys.
I'm going to add not be a bossy
man.
Person.
Is that not on your
for
list?
One. It should be somewhere in there.
You know my motherfucking nerves.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You can email us at theblacktableis@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @blacktablepod. You can also search us on Instagram at @theblacktablepod and on Facebook at @theblacktablepod, or search The Black Table Podcast.
You can listen to us on Podomatic, Acast, Stitcher, and of course iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share. You can follow me at STFUStrokes on most social platforms and at Khadisi. You want to spell it out?
I guess you just said it.
No,
it's cool because you're being bossy and you're being talkative, and this is the motherfucking stroke show, and I'm just here. So you can follow me where you just heard him say that you can follow me.
I want to thank my assistant, Khadisi, for being such
a
great Gabrielle
raise.
To my Xena.
Shit. Anyway, please do definitely rate and review us. I really appreciate it. The guy that I'm recording this with appreciates it. We've gotten some really great reviews, and we probably should read them sometime. And, you know, it's really nice.
We appreciate it.
It's appreciated.
All right, guys. We'll be back on 2 weeks. So
long. I mean, one day we're going to get to every week. You know, one day.
We got jobs.
We do. Man, we got dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
One of us has man.
Okay, Mama Boo, I love you.
Bye.